Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our nature, to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
A man and his wife were awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding on their back door. The man got up and went to the door where he met a stranger standing in the pouring rain asking for a push. Not a chance, the husband said. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. So he slammed the door and he returned to bed. Who was that? Asked his wife. Just some guy asking for a push, he answered. Did you help him? She asked. No, I did not. It's 3 in the morning and it's pouring outside. His wife responded, Don't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those two guys helped us? I think you should help him and you should be ashamed of yourself. Grunting under his breath, the man did what he was told. He got dressed and went outside into the pouring rain. And calling out into the dark, he said, Hello? Are you still there? Yes, came back the reply. Do you still need a push? The husband asked. Yes, please, came the reply from the darkness. Okay, where are you? The husband wanted to know. Over here, the man replied. On the swing. Oftentimes in life, things are not what they appear to be. Maybe you've noticed this. It is no different today as we celebrate Palm Sunday. For when we speak and reflect on this event, we use the language of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. How bizarre then! Because the procession down the Mount of Olives is anything but triumphant. Jesus does not ride in pomp on a magnificent horse. He chooses a donkey. And although the disciples burst into joyful praise as they see a fantastic panorama of Jerusalem, Jesus on the Palm Sunday road breaks down and he weeps over the holy city. And this is frequently neglected and ignored. For we look at what we are remembering today and we see it as a celebration. I'm not so sure Jesus looked at it the way we do. He comes in humility, not in vanity. He comes in gentleness, not in power. He comes weeping, not rejoicing. What comparisons, are they not? But it is the Apostle Paul that really brings out the great comparison for us to see Jesus as who he truly is in our Philippians passage this morning. Indeed, this passage, the great Christ hymn, has frequently been called by theologians as the great parabola. Say that with me. The great parabola, which is the great comparison. And what Paul reveals about Jesus in a few brief verses tells us that the life Jesus lived was for the sake of others. Jesus wasn't selfish, so very unlike the ways of the world, so very much unlike me. He lived and he moved in humility. And this is the key. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us then learn today from the example of the Lord Jesus and let us see the great parabola. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, found on page 709. The first thing we see in the great parabola, this great comparison, is that Jesus lived a life of descent, not one of ascent. Let me say that again. Jesus lived a life of descent, not one of ascent. With the imagery that we have today and later this week with Holy Week, we see this descent literally. Jesus descends into the holy city from the Mount of Olives. And this descent is not a gradual one, rather it's extremely steep. I've lost my footing on this descent more than once in my pilgrimages. But as Jesus descends the Palm Sunday road, he is also descending to Calvary. And from Calvary, he descends to the grave itself. Do you see? This is the mind and this is the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very same mind and attitude that you and I are to possess as his followers. He lived a life of descent, not one of ascent. And this is contrasted, this is compared to the mindset of the evil one, who in Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, says this, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above the stars of God. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. You see, Satan wanted to go higher and higher and higher. He desired to take on the one who sits on the throne. But this was no Game of Thrones. Satan was cast down. And the prophet Isaiah elaborates, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. You will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Notice the descent of the Lord Jesus. He left heaven to take on our human flesh. And as the Anglican priest and poet John Donne put it, 'twas much that man was made like God before, but that God should be like man, much more. Jesus, the eternal Word, who was with the Father from eternity, added on our humanity to himself. He entered into our human experience. And that's the model for us. A life of descent compared to a life of ascent and aspiration. A life that lets go of privileges and is willing to get its hands dirty. It is a life that willingly and humbly takes on the posture of servanthood. And there is no hubris or pride at all in this posture. A proud young man walked into a room looking for his friend. And he passed two young blonde women near the door who looked at him and then looked at each other and said at the same time, nine. The prideful young man puffed out his chest a little bit and drew a big smile on his face. And then he walked over to his waiting friend. You won't believe what just happened. When I walked in, these two attractive women looked at me and rated me a nine. His friend replied, those two women only speak German. So, the young man responded, well, in German, nine means no. The second thing we see in the great parabola, the great comparison, is a life of humility compared to a life of vanity. The crowd on Palm Sunday praised Jesus with glory, laud, and honor. Yet the people wanted a mighty warrior king, like King David of old. And other so-called saviors had made their way down the Mount of Olives before. Judah Maccabees had come down this road on a war horse many years before Jesus. But compare this pomp and vanity with Jesus choosing to ride down this steep, steep road on a donkey. A donkey. What a statement. It certainly fulfilled Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. But what a humble entrance into the holy city. The people had never seen a king like this before. A humble, gentle king who had come to serve. A humble, gentle king who would take off his outer garments to wash the feet of his servants a few days later. And compare this to the great kings and leaders in our own time. Would they be so meek and mild? We call them public servants, but their service is but lip service compared to what Jesus modeled. And to what end was the extent of Jesus' humble service? It was the excruciating agony of the cross. This God who took on our flesh at the incarnation, who entered into our human experience, who lived a life of descent, would descend not just from heaven to earth, not just from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, but to the hardwood of the cross and the grave itself. You see, humble servanthood looks out for the interest of others. And Jesus knew full well of our plight. Saturated in sin, spiritually dead, and tormented by the minions of hell. This was the state of affairs before Yeshua set us free. For Jesus, Messiah, descended into this world to save us, to save you, to save me. He humbled himself, and this humility went all the way, even to the point that he died a criminal's death on the hardwood of the cross. This was the extent of his service and his servanthood. And there was no room at all in any of it for vanity. What a model then for us to imitate. What an attitude for us to make our very own. Behold the great parabola, the great comparison. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. Amen? And this leads us to the next point. And the great parabola, a life of descent, a life of humility will be raised and lifted up to exaltation. Yes, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the ultimate humble one, Jesus, the Messiah, is given the highest place of honor at the right hand of the Father. He is lifted up out of the pit. He is bodily raised from the grave. He then ascends into heaven. He's going higher and higher and higher. But that's not all. He is given the name above every name. And at this name, the very name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The humble will most gladly bend the knee. The proud will most surely struggle to bend the knee. But make no mistake, all will bow. The one who lived a life of descent, the one who lived a life of humility and complete obedience to the Father is raised, and he is continually lifted higher. He's not just raised from the dead. He's not just ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is also exalted in worship. And all will bow, and all will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not Caesar who is Lord or any elected government official. It is Jesus, the Christ. Only he is Lord. It is simply this. The simplest creed of the early church was three words. Do you know what they are? Jesus is Lord. Say that with me. Jesus is Lord. One more time. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And if Jesus is Lord, that most assuredly means that you and I are not. And this is why we must fix our eyes, our minds, and our hearts on the example of Jesus, our Lord. From the great parabola, in this great comparison, we see a life to model contrasted to the life of the world. The great parabola is not a life lived for its own glory or for its own self. That is the way of the flesh, the world, and the devil. Rather, what we see in the great parabola is a life lived for the glory of God and for the sake of others. You see, the Apostle Paul is reminding the Philippians and us today too that to have the attitude and the mind of Christ is to take an interest in other people. To not be selfish. To not seek to impress others with titles or what you have. But to think of others as better than yourselves. Remember, it's a life of descent. It's a life of humility, not ascent. And not vanity. The Chinese evangelist Watchman Nee shares a true story about a poor Chinese farmer who had rice fields high, high, high on a mountain. And every day the farmer spent hours pumping water into the rice paddies. But when he returned to the fields the next morning, he would find that his unbelieving neighbor, who lived down the mountain from him, had opened the dikes and drained the water to fill his own fields. For a while, the Christian ignored the injustice, but at last he became desperate. His rice would die if this continued. So he gathered his church, and they prayed, and they discussed the situation, and they came up with a plan. The next day, the farmer rose early in the morning, and he first filled his neighbor's fields. Then he attended to his own. He counted his neighbor more significant than himself. And soon, this neighbor wanted to know about Jesus because of it. Yes, the model of Jesus is a stark contrast to the longing and expectations of the world. And this brings us back to the significance of this day, Palm Sunday. The great parabola of Jesus' life reveals to us a life uncommon. A life uncommon. Whereas we label this day Jesus' triumphant entry into the holy city, the actions of Jesus reveal something different entirely. We see in his decline down the Mount of Olives the model for us all. A life of descent, not ascent. A life of humility, not vanity. A life of gentleness, not seeking power. A life that will be raised up and exalted. And that points to our own glorification to come. Praise be to God. Amen?
Amen.
And what we finally see is a life contrasted compared to the life of the world. The world that continually seeks to shape us and to form us, to always look out first and foremost for us, for ourselves. That we are numero uno. Not so with the Lord Jesus. And this life uncommon that he lived and he modeled for us, he calls you and I into right now. And this is where each of us must look at this passage, the great parabola, like we're looking into a mirror. When we look at the uncommon life that Jesus exemplified, there should be a reality check for all of us. Like Simon, who carried the cross and followed Jesus, will we follow him taking up the cross? Is our life a life of descent, or are we like Lucifer, aspiring to ambitious, selfish heights? Is our life a life of humility? Or are we so vain to think that it's all about us? Is our life one of gentleness? Or do we seek power to lord it over others? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, my friends. And the life uncommon of the great parabola, this life that Jesus modeled, reveals a better way. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will raise you up. For whoever exalts themselves shall be made humble, and whoever humbles themselves shall be exalted. May the Holy Spirit grant to you and me, to all of us as a family on mission, the strength every day to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, our Messiah and our Lord, that our lives too shall model the great parabola. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards humanity sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the hard wood of the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his descent and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.